too, in terms of resource wars, forced human migration, changing food patterns, water supply, all those things. So maybe it's not directly that there is an impact that we see of climate change, but there are indirect links that we can see between climate change and conflict that are happening around. And in this particular case, there is a lot of discussion about these countries being developing countries and their need for resources to meet the energy demands of the countries. But there's also a truth about it. For example, the change of the capital, the national capital of the Indonesia, from Jakarta last year to another place, because Jakarta would be is seeing a sea level rise, and it is a coastal city, and there is a tremendous effort that's being made by the government in Indonesia right now to shift its national capital from there because of the possibility of having frequent floods, high tides, and essentially flooding of the entire capital. And also there is an implied effect on having all those resources, because national capital means that a lot of like businesses are situated in that location. So the government is trying and making efforts to move some of the industry and some of the population from that area. I don't know if move is the correct word, but I think the word is transition. So it's trying to attract more things and more businesses and institutions to move to the newer capital and leave and like move out from Jakarta. So this is an example of how national policy is shifting, and is shifting rapidly. This is just an example of Indonesia, which is a coastal country. It has like coastline around all of its borders. So it's super interesting when we talk about a dispute which is happening in the sea, the South China Sea, for example. There is an increasing understanding of these islands, like the Spratlys, their coastal shelf shifting with the melting of ice. These areas would also expand, the sea areas. So what would it mean even to have UNCLOS being applied to such such areas, and having the claims that China makes, how it's interesting to have those environmental changes factored in. But also from the security perspective of things, a lot of the ongoing projects that are done to develop the economies around the South China Sea, they are heavily water dependent, which the waters actually give to the regional economy in the ways of generating employment, food security, poverty elevation, and ensuring sustainability. The economic value of resources, as I was mentioning before, not only includes like maritime transport and tourism, but also the presence of natural gas and oil, and the fisheries. Besides this economy of and sustainable development angle, the waste management and upstream downstream issues of the biggest basin of the river Mekong is an important one to understand how things are shaping in the Southeast Asia region. Specifically looking at the South China Sea, it has a similar kind of story in terms of the density. So the sea hosts the world's most dense sea links of communication, with more than half of the world's tanker traffic passing through the region's water. And thus it becomes really what some scholars call like the interstate highway in the world economy. The region's state demand for oil is imported from the Middle East and Africa, which passes through the Strait of Malacca and the South China Sea. And so all sorts of transportation that happens through the sea. But this transportation also brings with itself related pollution avenues. So for example, the risk of oil spills and ocean dumping by these ships who have to pass through this region on a daily basis. The threat also manifests in the form of energy security. So for example, the demand for more energy, which means there will be more drilling of oil from the region. Then there is deep sea mining avenues that are being thought of, not particularly in the South China Sea, but also in the Pacific Ocean. So all these things not only contribute to environmental pollution, but there is also a problem of rapid deforestation that is happening in the region. Apart from that, the sea has rich marine life and biodiversity, but the increased human activity and the South China Sea dispute itself has really militarized the region. And there are different countries around it. Like, for example, they are part of the ASEAN, which is the Association of Southeast Nations, which includes Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines. And then there is China, who have territorial claims which are competing. Due to this, there are the sea hosts, a lot of warships, operations, military operations, fleets, and creation of artificial islands. So these artificial islands means that you are essentially creating plastic islands in the middle of the ocean to increase your coastal line and then to have those exclusive economic rights. Poaching and wrongful flagging and banning of fishing vessels in the contested waters is a common occurrence. Like literally almost every single day there is flagging of one ship or the other in the EEZ of this region, because there are so many different claims. So a lot happening all the time here. Industrial, military, and domestic waters also waste also flows through the sea, undermining the marine life quality. More direct sort of pollution challenges also include the risk of microplastics among the coral reefs in a group of islands which is called the Nansha Islands. It's not like in the Spratly Islands, but it's geographically located just next to it. The plastic pollution in water is said to derive from both the residential activities in the area and high intensity of fishing that happens here. So the regional cooperation, I think, is very key, and measures for sustainable fishing is required to ensure that these things don't happen. Furthermore, I think one of the recommendations that I came through is to have more of joint exploration efforts. So if we have to conduct development goals, if we have to do those things, they should be joint in keeping with the scientific thresholds that climate change allows us to do. So even when you're exercising the military security, it's important to keep an close eye onto what is happening and what sort of impacts not just the humans or the countries having, but also the marine life. On this note, I'm just going to play another short clip here from Climate Connections and one song, and then I'll get more into how it's relevant to even securitize an issue and why it's important and why it's interesting to me. So I'm going to play one more thing over here.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When you find uncooked food lurking in your fridge, you might throw it out if the date on the package has passed. But perhaps you shouldn't.
There's been a lot of confusion about how to interpret these labels. Like, we call them expiration dates, but they're actually not necessarily expiration dates.
Anjali Narang is a PhD candidate at Cornell University. She says the date does not always indicate food safety. Sometimes it indicates when a product's quality is best. But knowing what's meant is often confusing, because the wording on food labels varies.
There's used by, best of used by, best before, sell by, fresh by. I've even seen just the date.
Narang was part of a team that studied how the wording on these labels affects food waste, which is bad for the climate and consumers' wallets. She found that people were more likely to trash food if the label only had a date on it, or if the label included the word use in any form. For example, best if used by, or simply use by.
So our theory is that people are interpreting these dates as expiration dates.
even if that's not what's meant. So the study indicates that standardizing food labels could help reduce food waste, but the wording chosen must be clear to consumers. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org. But the wording chosen must be clear to consumers.
So that was an interesting piece here as well, because the fishery security are the things that happen, but the food waste management in the South China Sea is also relevant to what we do here in our homes on a daily basis itself. I just remember that I just throw away my own bread because it just says a date. And I'm like, I'm not too sure if I'm used to throw it or should I just use it? There the standardization and clear communication on the labels about what even expiry date is, or best before, or best use is. Coming back to the point of securitizing an issue, and why do I call this environmental security and not environmental challenges or just like environmental issues? Well, it is because South China Sea is not acting alone in this international scape of environmental problems. So it's not just one region. This region is connected to so many other international things that are happening. The ongoing explorations in different countries. So we are definitely connected in this global age, but that also means that our problems are connected. So even though it might look on the surface that the South China dispute does not have as much of a environmental footprint, when looked at an angle from the value that the sea holds in terms of biodiversity and the exploration efforts that are really happening in the sea, we can see a contrast and understand that this is not something that should be left out of the discussion about a dispute which is such big like this one. And serious clashes in the past have seen that many protests, firing of the fishing vessels have happened before. And not only this undoes or violates the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, but it also shows that there's so much conflict on a resource that can happen right now. So when we are in a climate change, so the age of Anthropocene, where resources and the access to it would be limited, how interesting it would be to have those international landscapes change, and what would it mean? Because we are so dependent on these resources and their exploitation and extraction, that we need to understand that the world has, the nature has limited resources to offer us, and if we just keep on plundering it, we might just never be able to restore what we had in the beginning. But securitization from the prospect of international politics and how governance happens on an international scale would mean having to call onto this issue as central to policymaking and security agenda of the state. Which would mean that a country or a state would be entitled to undertake extraordinary efforts to ensure that it is no longer exploiting the environment and is acting within those set goals. The securitization of the environment would mean framing the policies and international efforts around the problem as an urgent and existential threat which demands immediate action. And this sounds like something that is really required in the case of the Southeast Asia region, because of the different things that I've underlined throughout this discussion, because this problem of the environment is not just impacting some climate radicals, it is impacting human life, economic stability, and tourism, and development, so many factors. It's just interrelated. And this action item of having securitization of environment as an issue here would raise questions like, who is supposed to provide security and by what means? What are the implement implications for the process of securitization of the climate. So how would we go about doing it? And what sort of key markers would be of the securitization? So what steps should we take? What sort of capacity tools, what sorts of instruments of infrastructure building would have to undertake to do the required steps for the securitization of this grave issue of environmental conflict, and especially in the South China Sea, where there is a lot of discussion of claims and having the presence of different international big players here, even the Quad Group, which is given as like an alternate to the Chinese presence in the region, which is the group of four countries here in the Indo-Pacific region, which includes Australia, India, Japan, and the United States. These members have initiated dialogues to have and ensure maritime security. They have conducted some joint military exercises and activities to ensure that the increasing problem of South China Sea. So there is an attempt to balance the things that are happening here. But I think the question of environmentalism is very central, and the one that is usually left out when talking about a dispute which includes international actors. And I think that should not happen, because it's just not the environment. It's connected with a lot of things. So it's not just about having the warships in the waters of the South China Sea, but it is also about the impact these warships and fleets of ships have on the waters that these are present in. On this note, I'm going to play one song by another Canadian singer and songwriter, Basia Bula, and I'm going to play her song Fool, and then we'll try to wrap up our conversation for today. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this song.
I'm still your fool. to brush me off. We could be friendly. We could be out of touch. We could be famous. Or even infamous if you are. Come back and never call it off. Come back but don't tear me down. Don't waste my time pretending love is somewhere else. Come back and never call it off. Come back but don't turn around. Stop wasting time.
Listening to Looking at Lyme on CJSF's Speak Up, and I'm your host, Sarah Cormode. Looking at Lyme is a podcast.
So that was the song by Canadian singer and songwriter Bussia, who really started working and writing about songs at an early age. And I really enjoy some of her music on the album, which came out in 2020, which still feels like the last year, but it is not. And the album is called Good Advice. And I would like to wrap up sort of my thoughts here about the relevance of talking about the South China Sea in the context of having securitization of the environment. Because I wanted to highlight that there is a direct link between what we understand as international politics and understanding that problem like climate change is an international itself. So it's very central to talk about this dispute, not devoid of this discussion of the climate, and bringing that conversation with it, because all the wars that we go to, all the military presences, and all the alliances that we form of any kind, and all the actions in that way individually, even at a community level, all of these have different forms of impacts on our climate and being cognizant of that and taking the most conscious steps that we can, not using the word best here, but what we think is worth bringing up in our understanding of how the Anthropocene is being shaped and things are changing with the climate change. So I'm just going to play one last song for the time that I have with you guys today, and it's called The Man. So it really talks about the patriarchy and this interesting intersection between feminism and power and the need to move away from. But I'll just let Taylor, I think, do the talking here, and I will play her song right here. It's called The Man.
Before I found someone to commit to, and that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader, I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, cause if I was a man, in the work, they wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve, what I was wearing, if I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves. And they would toast to me or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. I'd be the man. What's it like to brag about raking in dollars and getting bitches and models? And it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch, not a bother. They paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. You know that. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, coming at me again. Cause if I was a man,
so stay tuned at CJSF, and the show coming up right after this is Democracy Now!, and I hope you guys tune in at the same time to discuss something more interesting in the international realm of politics with me, your host, signing off for now, Pranjali Mann. But you guys stay tuned at CJSF because there's an interesting discussion that is also coming up in the next show. So, over and out for today, and thank you for tuning in.